Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank WeTalk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search and type in WeTalk Productions and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Organization, Community Organization, excuse me. Tonight's topic, COVID-19 myths. COVID-19 myths, what are they saying? We have heard many things about COVID-19. It's difficult to believe some of the things we hear, and yet sometimes we believe some things that are difficult to believe. Maybe it's simply because we want to. No harm in wishing and hoping, but it's better to know. One thing we can agree on is we all want this pandemic to an abrupt end. So, you know, I hear a lot of stories about COVID-19, and you know, from individuals who are assessing, you know, the information they come across, from so-called professionals, scientists, and you know, information that they say that come from people who are involved with viruses and things like that. So I was just thinking, like, you know, what are they saying about, you know, what are people saying that's true? What are they saying that's not true? You know, do people have, you know, different ideas about, you know, CV-19? I saw one thing. Somebody sent me something that said that CV-19 wasn't real, which was really, I'm like, how could you know, I was just saying, okay, didn't send me any information on it, but just something in a text of a picture of somebody saying something to that effect. You know, like it's not real. I was just wondering, how can something that's not so unreal attack so many people, take so many lives? Then I had a discussion about they said CV-19 doesn't kill people, it's your body killing itself and things like that. I'm not going to get into that type of stuff, but I'm just saying that's the kind of conversation we have. We're going to have a different kind of conversation, more, you'll see. So we're not getting into whether or not CV-19 is killing people or not. People are dying, and they're saying CV-19, some of the numbers may be skewed because of they included some people who have not actually died from causes of the cause of CV-19. We know that, right? I think I saw an article that actually pointed that out. That, you know. So, hey, this is from AccuWeather.com, News Health. Because we're talking about things that you hear that you wonder if it's true or not, or is it possible? Because I know we're all tired of this, you know. Everybody's getting to know everybody a little, maybe too well. So, but we still may have a long time, you know, some more time to be in the house, according to the professionals. But from other people, I'm hearing it's not that serious. Anyway, they said that a higher temperature affects survival of the novel, right? That's the coronavirus, the CV-19, right? Pathologist says, right? So this is from the staff from AccuWeather, Mr. John Roach. Basically, from research, you know, from a laboratory, they made a copy of the coronavirus, the SARS-CoV-2, right, which they said caused the CV-19 illness. And they said that they saw that the heat affects the virus and impacts its behavior. They said, but other infectious disease experts aren't yet convinced about that. So one thing about that, impacts its behavior is not the same as destroy. So, you know, sounds like somebody's in the lab saying, oh, I see some changes. I mean, like, you know, maybe it slowed it down or something. I don't know. But, you know, like I said in the beginning, we all want an abrupt end to this. So we don't want something that impacts on a thing's behavior. We want something that, I'm assuming, we all want something that brings this thing to an abrupt halt. Not years from now, you know, as immediate as possible. So I'm just reading that. So it's saying cold environment, there is longer virus survival than in warm environments. I didn't know that. But I'm finding that out since I guess this whole COVID-19 thing has made me read more about viruses and things like that, but, you know, I guess bacteria must grow in the summertime, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, so they said that the COVID-19 illness shows that heat affects the virus and impacts on its behavior, right? In cold environments, there is longer virus survival than in warm ones, the Hong Kong University pathology professor John Nichols told his AccuWeather. So that was interesting. New study says high temperature and high relative humidity significantly reduce spread of COVID-19. Increased UV exposure may limit spread of new coronavirus. Robots deployed at a Texas hotel to zap pathogens amid coronavirus outbreak. Now, I remember them saying that this UV didn't have any effect on the CV-19, the new coronavirus. These guys, it sounds like, I don't know, I guess you can get somebody to support whatever it is you're saying. And this makes it very, for me, makes it very hard for me to believe, you know. I see I got an incoming call. Caller, you need to call in, Mr. Paris. I need you to call in on the guest line, 516-531-9540. 516-531-9540. I sent you that number earlier today, my brother. So call me on that number. You want to speak? We want to hear what you have to say. Because I just want to, you know, this is the average man, average Joe show. Don't worry about it. You're not a scientist. You don't know what you're talking about. Don't worry about none of that kind of stuff. Express yourself. That's what you do here. You know, especially what you feel, what you think about things. If you think what you're thinking is not important, then I think you need to step up. Okay, we have a caller. Welcome to Provocative Thought. Hello. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Okay, they hung up. Okay. Anyway, they have did a bunch of studies, you know. So I mean, that's hopeful. I'm gonna say, I don't know how true that is. I don't know how effective all of this would be, because I think that you do use UV, ultraviolet light to limit the spread of viruses. I heard about that, but I heard it wasn't that effective against COVID-19. It's harmful to our skin. So if you want to, you know, you guys are thinking about using that on yourself, it's harmful. We got a caller again. Let's see. Hold on, caller. Welcome to Provocative Thought. Hello? Hello? Okay, I'm gonna mute your call. I don't know what's going on. Somebody keep calling in. That's not nice. Anyway, they have different studies. They had a study, Sun Yat University in, I can't even say this word, Gansu, China. It's a lot of, that's another. They previously produced a study. Same thing, copies of the SARS-CoV-2 virus. And they say they found out that their findings were saying similar, that temperature could significantly change COVID-19 transmission. That's a stronger word than impact on the virus. Change COVID-19 transmission. They also pointed out that the virus is highly sensitive to high temperature, which brings us to, well, if you live in the United States, we got springtime coming up. Doesn't feel like it. Feel like we're still in winter. But, you know, we have springtime coming up. They want to start the country back up. And, you know, everybody want to get back to making money and things like that. And now we're getting this information. And I'm trying to put any conspiracy-like type thing out there. Is you know, we got this information saying, hey, you might be able to start up the country back up when it warms up. So that's interesting. So that's interesting if it doesn't do well in heat. Okay, I think hospitals are usually chilly. I've never been in a hot hospital. So let's just say all viruses thrive in cool climates. The hospital kind of like a breeding ground for a virus. That's the case, because, you know, kind of, it's not warm in a hospital. Anyway, they said some science stuff. Transmission on an electron microscope showed that the SARS virus had sensitivity to light, heat, I mean. So, anyway, I said one recent paper supported the assertion about this virus being sensitive to heat. It said by pointing out the proximity of the major hotspots. The authors of the study, which was published a week before this article, I think this article came out when? March 13, 2020. So, it says CV19 you know, has established a community spread in the city. That means it's spreading easily, right? And regions along on the narrow east-west distribution are roughly along the 30 and 50 north latitude corridor at consistently similar weather patterns. They're saying that this, you know, but last I heard, this thing is everywhere. Coast of the United States, right? Everywhere, you know. So when I hear data like this, it kind of makes me scratch my head, you know. I guess what they're saying, one of the temperatures are relatively close, the same, and the humidity. They said COVID-19 failed to spread significantly to countries immediately south of China. The number of patients and reported deaths in southeast China is much less when compared to more temperate regions noted. The association between temperature and the cities affected with COVID-19 deserves special attention. So that's a possible light at the end of the tunnel. Because they're seeing that this relationship between how the virus is spreading and the temperature of regions. So, I mean, that's a good look. You know, it's hopeful. And there's nothing wrong with hoping. And, you know, we see this data and we hope that this is something that... at least it's saying, at least it's an indication that the virus might not be spreading there due to temperature, but might not also be spreading due to how they reacted to the issue, the problem in Wuhan. You know, once they got wind of that, what did those people do? You know, did they quarantine? You know what I'm saying? Did they wear masks? You know, what did they, how they responded to that? So maybe they had time to respond to the virus also. But that doesn't explain the whole thing about the temperature thing. So, I don't know. I'm just throwing that in there. I'm not even saying it's a conspiracy thing. I'm just, because I know we're just taking information. And, you know, people look for information to support what they want to do sometimes. You know, that's the only thing I'm suggesting here, implying with some of the things that I'm saying in terms of being a little apprehensive. Because if I look for something, only the thing that's going to support what I want to do, then I'm going to take that information, and if I have the ability to make that information available to the public, then I'm going to make sure that the public sees that frequently so that they will support my next move. I guess I am saying some conspiracy thing. I'm guilty. Anyway, I think she always, you know, be thinking about, you know, who benefits from the information. Where did, like another brother said, where did information come from? You know, and even some of the sources, I mean, anybody can tell a lie. So you can get the information from anywhere. It doesn't have to be true. You just have to hope that that person is being honest. And it, on top of that, hope that their process was honest. Because sometimes people are being honest and in relationship to the processes that took place to come for them to come to that conclusion. So they're being honest based on the work that they did, you know, so they're not always trying to mislead you, I guess. Sometimes that's just simply the conclusion that they came to when they, you know, finished the work. So anyway, they said that statistics show that they breed and survive longer when it's cold and dry, cold and dry. So when it's warmer and more humid, there's a lot of sunshine. The statistics on all the others show a virus is less lethal. A virus. It spreads less effectively and less effectively among humans. So, again, another study, right? What somebody's saying, hey, we might get some kind of a break when it warms up. You know, so for people in your house, turn your heat up. I wonder if that would help. Dr. Fair, virologist, epidemiologist, and infectious disease specialist suggested sunshine is a critical factor in subduing the virus. And I'm hoping he's talking about CV-19. He said it really doesn't have anything to do with the warmth, but it has to do with the length of day and the exposure to sunlight, right? There you go again with the UV, right? Which inactivates the virus through UV light. Now, they say UV light is harmful to the skin. It could cause, I think, skin cancer or something like that. So, anyway, Fair, who was a contributor during the appearance, said, we expect a dip in infections as we would in the cold and flu in the spring and summer months. Okay, there's some more information. Somebody saying, you know, I'm not trying to give anybody any false hope, anything like that. All right, so they went on to say that, you know, we can all assume this will follow typical of other coronavirus cases, right? Because, you know, there's all kinds of coronaviruses. Not just one. This is the novel coronavirus that we got going on right now, running around. And I heard it was three strains of that. Right? Can't prove it because I don't know the science of it. Haven't seen it. I'm not a virologist or anything like that. Right? They said we can expect a dip in the summer, but it doesn't mean we're out of the woods. Right? A dip does not mean you're out of the woods. It's going to be, it's like saying, it's going to be less damage, less, you know, same thing, it's going to be less of something. So less is better than more in that respect. Everyone in the science and public health community expects to be back in the fall, and we expect to be in this for quite some time. That sounds like never going away. So you get a break, you get summer vacation, then it's back to school. So you get a little dip in the corona. And then it's back to, you know, they said there's a range of opinions on the matter in the infectious disease community, right? So some infectious disease experts warn that unlike cases of seasonal flu, which tend to decline in the spring and summer months, SARS-CoV-2 will not behave in the same manner, okay? So I just read some information where these scientists, virologists, are saying that, hey, we see this responding to the heat. Another guy said it's the UV lights from the sun. And then we had some other scientists, right, infectious disease experts saying, hey, this SARS-CoV-2, it's not going to do that. It's not going to make that move. It's not worried about the summer. All right? So that's a problem. So we have this, and it's good to see these guys come up with these different things, you know. Hopefully, you know, because study, like I said, says one thing and another study says something else. So, you know, as we have this information, that we have to make a decision about utilization of that information. Okay, so another professor is saying he didn't. Who's it? Dr. Brian Lewis, a professor at the Biocomplexity Institute at the University of Virginia, told AccuWeather, "We don't really know." And there are reasons to suspect that the weather may not have a huge impact on it. See? So say if I was a guy that wanted to push everybody going back to, everybody go back to work, just start making this money. I would use the information from these guys that are saying, hey, this thing has a thing going to be slowed down over the summer. It might burn itself out, the heat, the sun, so forth like that. But wouldn't that mean that anywhere where it's hot, it would be next to zero COVID-19 cases? Like over in Africa, parts of China, as one guy kind of alluded to, southern part of China was affected less, they said. But, you know, I wonder that they have time to prepare and, you know, for the, you know, the virus, like, you know, that they started quarantining people. And, you know, China's a little different than over here. All that, I'm going outside, my rights and all that stuff is a little different. A little different than China. So, you know, I said one thing infectious disease experts are all unable to evaluate. Once viruses leave the body, human factors are more unpredictable. They said those variables could include people going to work with symptoms rather than staying home. The inability of countries or regions to have effective screening tests or isolation facilities, or healthcare workers not having access because of supply shortages amongst their possibilities. How, you know, come on now. Now, the United States shouldn't even have that problem. It's supposed to, I heard it's supposed to be the richest country in the world, so, you know. But this, I guess it's the richest unprepared country in the world. So, anyway. He said we could call these bozo factors. Those types of unpredictable, unmeasurable variables would mean all bets are off as to whether the hope for decrease in summer will eventuate, will happen, right? So. From WebMD, can coronavirus survive heat? Well, here we go again, right? Scientists recently looked at a few small studies on the subject and found there isn't enough evidence to know if this is true, right? You got some other dudes saying, hey, might be a dip in the summer. They say, hey, we ain't enough evidence to know that's true. Slow your roll, right? So they said to start with, the real world conditions in which the virus infects people can be hard to reproduce in a lab. Different humidity levels, in particular, can be tough to recreate. Plus, temperature and humidity can vary quite a bit depending on where you are, especially in a country as large as the U.S., right? Because, you know, we got some people it's hot in the winter where they live at, it's warm, and some people in the winter it's freezing cold. Some people have mild temperatures in the wintertime, depending on where you are in the United States. So based on a theory that heat, I think, what was that place, Louisiana? Isn't it kind of warm? Shouldn't it be kind of warm in Louisiana this time of year? Or maybe it's not that warm there. I don't know. Well, also, some strains of the virus can change depending on the environment. Ain't that nice to know? And that's kind of like, you know, how fast can this thing change? They may survive and thrive in various geographical regions or climates, they say. Some viral illnesses seem to slow in the summer months. Some. This isn't always the case in countries such as Australia and Iran, right? COVID-19 has spread very quickly despite warm and humid weather, the two attributes of weather that they said would slow this virus down. In Australia, right, and Iran, they got hit hard with the COVID-19. See where I'm going with the thing about information? Every virus and pandemic is different, and there is a number of things that influence them. even in hot and summer and humid weather. With COVID-19, there's simply not enough evidence to know if there will be significant slowdown in infections as temperatures rise. They say, hey, not enough evidence. And I guess it's difficult to duplicate the environmental systems that different environmental systems, ecosystems that this virus has come in contact with. So they said, that's why experts recommend that people assume that summer months will be safer for the transfer of COVID-19 and to continue to take appropriate steps to protect yourself and those around you. Okay, so basically that's it. They say, as far as COVID-19 is concerned, and then and as you probably have heard, as I have heard, there are some people saying that this thing is not what they say it is, which I didn't even investigate that type of thing, but it was very interesting what they were saying, and it related to 5G technology in one occasion. Some people said it is, but it's not as bad as they say it is. And another person said, related it to attribute this illness that people are experiencing that they're calling COVID-19 to 5G technology, which we're going to take a look at next week. How 5G, that's how your cell phone works, 2G, 3G, 4G, 5G, microwave technology, things like that. We'll get into that next week. We're going to look at that, 5G. Not whether 5G causes what we're seeing now, but the effects of 2G, 3G, 4G, and 5G technology. What that means, we know technically that's going to help you do a lot more things. You guys are using computers and things like that. You're going to be a lot, help you get things a lot faster. As you know, these are waves traveling through the air. And I'm going to stop right there because this is not what I'm supposed to be talking about today. I'm off topic. All right? So I'm going to go back to rumors, myths, and things like that, COVID-19. Because, and the reason why I included this is because we have two different opinions about COVID-19. Opinion one, and they're scientists, or supposed to be scientists. I don't know. I'm just taking it to be true. And that was their study. And like I said, these guys don't agree on that. They're saying, no, I wouldn't, And some guys are saying, well, it's going to, we're going to get a little break during the summer or the hot. And like you're saying, Australia and Iran has the perfect climate for the decline, and they've been hit hard. Iran was hit hard with the virus in Australia. I think where Tom Hanks was. Anyway. From the WHO, the World Health Organization. I know who that is, right? They said, first data on stability and resistance of SARS coronavirus applied by members of the World Health Organization Laboratory Network, right? This information has been provided by members of the WHO, our multi-center collaborative network on SARS diagnosis, right? I'm going to say WHO. I'm not going to keep saying the World Health Organization. WHO, that's the same people, y'all. WHO is the World Health Organization, WHO. All right? So they said virus survival in stool and urine. They said virus is stable in feces and urine at room temperature for at least 1 to 2 days. Virus is more stable up to 4 days in stool from diarrhea patients, which has higher pH than normal stool. Disinfectants. Virus loses effective activity after exposure to different commonly used disinfectants and fixatives, right? That's the stuff you're cleaning up with, right? Virus survival in cell culture supernatant. only minimum reduction in virus concentration after 21 days at 4 degrees Celsius and 80 degrees Celsius. I meant to look that up because I don't really know what 4 degrees Celsius means. Let me see what that means. Four degrees Celsius is 39.2 degrees. 4 degrees is 39.2 degrees. So there you go. That's not too hot. 39.2 Fahrenheit. That's just a little above freezing. And 80 and minus 80 degrees Celsius. Reduction in virus concentration by one log only at stable room temperature for 2 days. This would indicate that the virus is more stable than the known human coronavirus under these conditions. Heat at 56 degrees Celsius kills the SARS coronavirus at around 1,000 units per 15 minutes, I guess. 56 degrees Celsius. Let's see what that is. That's 132.8 degrees Fahrenheit. I don't think nobody's going to get their house that hot. And nobody want to be out in that kind of weather either. That'll kill you. 130 degrees. Oh, I'm sorry. We had callers. You guys want to... Hello, welcome to Provocative Thought. Hello? Okay, I guess they don't want to say anything. All right. Fixatives for laboratory use only. SARS virus fixation killing on glass slides for immunofluorescence assays in room temperature does not kill virus effectively unless the acetone is cooled down to minus 20 degrees Celsius. So that's some science stuff right there. And 130 degrees, that's pretty hot. So, and this is just from Medical News Today. They say these are coronavirus myths explored, right? So, you know, this is from April 6th of 2020. So, let's see. To date, the novel coronavirus, currently dubbed of Secure Acute Respiratory Syndrome, coronavirus 2, or SARS-CoV-2 for short, has been responsible for over 1.3 million infections globally, causing nearly 75,000 deaths in the U.S. and almost, I just saw something way higher than 75 in the U.S. In the U.S. and almost 130,000 people have contracted the virus, and nearly 11,000 people have that. No, correction. There was infections I saw. It was higher than 75,000. These are deaths causing 75,000 deaths. In the U.S., almost 370,000 people have contracted the virus. I think that number is higher than that in the U.S. And nearly 11,000 people have died. So, has the numbers been skewed or have they included people who have died from natural other causes, other illnesses that had COVID-19 in that category? Possibly. But the point is, people are dying from COVID-19 also. So it's something very harmful to you. So they got a whole list of things here they said that people were saying about. I'm just going to go through the list. I think it's like 20-something of them. And we're only on for an hour tonight. And anybody want to talk, make sure you press the number one. And I'll get to you. Spraying chlorine or alcohol on skin kills virus in the body. Right? Keyword of in the body. I think we could probably figure that one out ourselves without even, you don't need to be a scientist. So, does not kill viruses in the body, right? So that's a myth. And I never heard that one. But who am I, you know? I don't hear everything. I'm not all hearing. I'm not all knowing. Okay, so you can't spray chlorine or alcohol on your skin to kill the virus. And chlorine is very harmful, all right? Just for the record, chlorine was used. Chlorine is in the water supply, number one, or some water supplies. Number two, it was a biological agent used by the German army to kill French soldiers in World War I. Alcohol, as you know, is a poison or a toxin in itself. Okay, we have somebody wants to add to the show today. Welcome to Provocative Thought.
Thank you. You were speaking, your topic is about CV-19 myths.
Right.
All right. Well, let's look at some facts because we're living history. We're living in our own history. And where this coronavirus will go or take us, facts is they've hit 148 countries. Some of the countries we don't hear about is Brazil, which is huge, Argentina, and we should know that it hit Russia, but they're not talking, being a communist country. Well, one thing I looked at when we were looking at a map out of Washington, of all the countries that's reported, you know, what's going on thus far. And the United States is up to almost near 30,000 dead. So I think it was listed by the deaths or either by those affected. I forget which. But let's say they were into the death. The United States is way up there. And the lowest one on that list was China with I think it was 3.3 or 0.33. And like the official's saying, no way China with over 1 billion people, plus the people that died in the country we know about, Wahoo, where it's coming out that it might have been experimenting with animals in a lab, and the experiment got on a human. Truth might not come out until years later, but nevertheless, this virus is here, and it's stronger than the ordinary flu, and we got to pray hard that they come up with remedy sooner than a year and a half. They're working diligently. We talk about fact. There's a lot of stuff thrown into it. We know this president is doing politics as usual, but that's who he is. But the more we listen to it, read it for ourselves, we can see truth in some of the things people are saying. So I'm just saying that we pray that they get a solution. We know it's attacked people of color more because we have pre-existing conditions, and we know because we don't have health care, not access to that with our low-paying jobs, all that adds up. We already knew about our situation, but now it's being broadcast, and everybody got to look at it and come to some solution. And number one solution, to make health care available to everyone up to a certain income. Like, you know, a millionaire can pay for their own health care. You know, you got to have a cutoff amount. It's only fair. But up to that amount, that threshold, maybe $100,000, I don't know, and under, you should be able to get good health care and pay a low amount. Because if you have healthy people, you have working people. It's simple as that. Healthy people are working people. And they put money back into the system via their tax and spending. So some of these things are very easy to be solved if they put their heads together and have good leadership. Like I like looking at the governor of New York. He tells it like it is. He tells us that he don't have all the answers, but he gives us the facts on a daily basis as he knows it.
Right.
He's not fighting the president. He told him up front, I'm not fighting with you. So I thank God for his tenacity and his forward speaking information on a daily basis. And I thank you
right.
for the opportunity to speak.
Thanks for sharing.
You're welcome.
Okay, so that's a very interesting take right there on the coronavirus situation. Also, they said only older adults and young people are at risk. So, you know, I don't know, is that a rumor? That's something, I guess I did hear something like that in the beginning of this. Older adults, because your immune system is compromised. But the young people, I don't remember the young people part. Anyway, they say older adults or individuals with pre-existing health conditions such as diabetes, asthma, are more likely to become severely ill. That's people of all ages right there, just for the record, just that alone. And they said that the virus can affect people of any age. So just in case, I remember when we first went into this quarantine situation, it was guys going around the basketball courts. I think they taking the courts down or covered the courts up with something. I don't know, so the guys won't go out and play basketball. Oh, we have another caller. Welcome to Provocative Thought.
Yeah, hello?
Yes, hello.
Welcome yeah, can you
Provocative
hear me?
Thought.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man, how you doing?
All right, how you doing?
Doing all right. I didn't miss the first part of your show there, so I didn't hear what you said. But I'm just curious, what's your theory behind this whole COVID thing?
My theory? But look, I don't have a theory behind it.
Hypothesis or whatever.
No,
yeah.
No. Well, I don't know. But like I'm saying, and in part, I'm saying that we get a lot of information from a lot of different sources. And like just assuming that the sources are legitimate sources, they're coming up with the conclusion from their study. Like these one guy came up with it, hey, this seems like this heat is going to cause a break in the coronavirus. Then the other virologists or infectious disease persons are saying, hey, no, you know, that this virus, there's no evidence that this virus is going to react to it that way. They're saying this is a new virus because the coronavirus are many coronaviruses. So in terms of CV-19, like I said, I've been hit with this is not real, you know, and it's, you know, I think a lot of folks dying from it says I'll bring something to light that says that this is a real situation. You know what I'm saying? Whether or not this situation is a part of somebody's diabolical scheme or not, or somebody's taking advantage of the situation could be both true. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what's true about any of that. My main problem is that we have this thing called coronavirus, CV-19, that we need to deal with and find a way to eradicate it. So all that, who did it and, you know, all of that kind of like stuff is kind of out the window when we have this thing trying to, you know, infect us.
Yeah.
What's your take on it?
Well, we could be here hours if you really want to know, but I'll give you a short synopsis of it, I guess. Yeah, the short one, yeah. some of what you said kind of reminded me of some of the things I've been thinking myself. You know, like you said, you go anywhere from, oh, this is nothing, this is fake, to this is the worst thing that's ever been, pretty much, right?
Right. Right.
And everything in between, right? Okay.
That's right.
So if you take the extremes, but let's say let's say this, I guess. This is the best way to put it, I guess, a metaphor of a kind. Let's say something, there's an interaction. Let's say we have an interaction, a private interaction, right? And then you go tell, and there's a third party, and we go tell our story to a third party, whatever happened between us. Say we had disagreement. So then you say your side of the story, and then I'll tell my side of the story. And, of course, your side of the story is going to favor you, and my side of the story is going to favor me.
Right?
Because that always happens.
Right.
I mean, that's just natural. Okay.
That's right. It's my
version.
That person, your version, my version.
Right.
That's right.
Right. Right. So that person listens to what we both have to say. Okay.
Right.
So let's say he's acting like the judge, so to speak. Right? We both agreed.
Right.
Whatever. We're going to tell our sides of the story, and he is going to determine what actually probably happened, more or less.
Right.
Right? Okay.
Right.
Now, probably the only people are going to know what really happened is yourself and myself. That's it.
That's
you
right.
Know? And then the third person is going to decide what's going to happen, what the judgment's going to be.
Right.
Okay. So I think in that sense, we are, let's say the public, we are placed in that position as judge. And it's not going to be just one judgment. It's going to be 8 billion judgments, right? Because that's almost how many
that's
people
right.
are.
That's right.
Okay. So each one of us has to listen to, I guess, the extreme version of the story from one side and the extreme version of the story from the other side and all the versions in between. And that when I say all the versions in between is basically all the media outlets from all the way to the from the left to the right and anything else, any other extreme.
Right.
So once we listen to all those stories, we put them together and we meditate and contemplate what seems to be lining up with this story, seems to be similar to what this other story from this angle is coming from. And that's not a simple thing. So it's going to take some time, and that's what I'm doing. And I've come to certain, I hate to say conclusions because it's not really a conclusion, so to speak. It's I've come to certain determination without being absolutely determinate, right? It's a temporary determination. Temporary in the sense that as time goes on, you know, definitely day by day, month by month, and year by year in the future, we're going to know probably more. And my opinion is going to change from what I tell you now to what is going to happen a year from now, from what I know from a year from now. But I have a feeling that probably this is an organically derived virus from the things I've heard. I listen to Spanish-speaking channels on the internet. And I'm a Spanish speaker, and I've listened to some things that they've said that you won't hear in the English-speaking media, not even sometimes on YouTube, you know, like from Australia, England, stuff like that. Even like RT English, German Channel English, French 24 English, China CCP News in English, you know, you listen to all that stuff. And so anyway, I listened to the Spanish because, you know, I can understand what they're saying. So and so I put all these things together. And so, like I said, I think from what I can get is that it's an organic virus, probably came from nature originally.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they extracted it from perhaps a bat or perhaps a pangolin or a civet cat, because those are those exotic animals over there in China and Asia. So they probably took this virus from one of those animals or most likely the bat. That's what they're saying. And the thing is that they probably were studying this virus as they do there. They study in all the major superpowers of the world. Superpowers, I mean, and to a lesser degree, superpowers. Of course, U.S., of course, China, of course, Russia, of course, U.K., of course, France, of course, Germany now, which is not really a superpower, but they have the technology. You have probably some, like South Korea probably has some technology like that to study these viruses at a certain level. So you have a lot of players. You probably have at least 10 industrialized countries in this world that probably have that ability.
Right.
So they are probably, and I'm not trying to excuse whatever it is the Chinese did or didn't do or let happen, if it was an accident, mm-hmm. if it was sabotage, whatever it was. I'm not
right.
excusing them, just like I'm not going to excuse this country for what it's done and what it's doing, probably, or any other
right.
country for that matter. Okay? I'm not a partisan. I'm not a political partisan. I'm not a nationalist partisan. Right? The only
mm-hmm.
thing I believe in terms of country is myself and my family.
Right.
That's the only country, and if I were to have a country, that's the only flag I would have, if it were that.
Okay.
So don't, you know, it's not that I'm coming from one side or the other. I'm not defending anyone, because
right.
no one's going
right.
to defend me, so I only defend myself, and that's it. So,
right.
So I think that's probably what's happening. They did it. They were studying it. These folks over here study it. Everybody else in the world that has the technology studies these viruses. They play around with them. They mix them up with other viruses. They cut them apart. They got, what is that one? They have this one technology that sometimes I hear about people refer to on podcasts. They take genes and splice them.
Mm-hmm.
And, it starts with a C. I can't remember right now. But, anyway, it's some kind of technology where they can take the genes or DNA and they can splice them and cut them up. And God knows what they can do with them, probably recombine them with something else. As a matter of fact, that's not too far-fetched because are you familiar with Monsanto and their GMO seeds?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I am.
Okay. Okay. And so I'm sure you've heard that their seeds are GMO, genetically modified seeds, supposedly have DNA and some other insects and supposedly some chemical signatures of poisons and herbicides and things like that.
Insecticide. Yeah.
Insecticides.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I don't know how true that is. I'm sure there is some truth in that because otherwise I wouldn't have been hearing it for such a long time. So,
right.
you know, when you think of that, and that's more probably less more or less true to a certain extent.
Yeah. We have 90
seconds,
my brother.
And you think... Oh, okay. Well, I'll let you have the last word then. But that's more or less
point.
My, you know,
you
where I'm
point?
Coming from.
Okay, let me ask you a
well,
question.
Well, basically,
you
know.
Oops, is it an oops or I'm going to infect the world with this shit, cause chaos to get control, or is this oops, the virus got out. So-and-so got infected and bam.
I think it's a good possibility. It could either be one or two things. It could be an accident. It came out accidentally, or it was sabotage, either from within China or from without China. And then now they're just taking advantage of it. It could be a power play. No, why not?
Wow. That's diabolical. That's right out of the cartoons and the movies. And, you know, with that being said, I have to, Coach Sofa, I'm going to thank you for calling in, my brother. And I hope you call in next
All
week.
Right.
I'm doing 5G. All right? Everybody
All right.
called in. I want to
Sound
thank
good.
Everybody for listening in. And remember, each one reach one, each one teach one. And we've got a lot to learn from this situation that we're in today. Like the brother just said, keep your mind open. Keep your eyes and ears open. All right? Assess your environment and assess the information that you're getting. Until next week, everyone, each one reach one, each one teach one. I want to thank WeTalk Productions for allowing me to host the show and Blog Talk Radio for allowing us to have the show on the air, period. Thanks. See you next week.